besties from the Midwesties. Just three besties living in a small town world. Lifelong friends sharing stories, opinions, experiences, and everything in between. Welcome, friends, and thanks for joining us for another episode of Three Besties from the Midwesties. I'm Pete, and I'm here with my two besties.
I'm Kate.
And I'm Lauren.
Today, we're going to be talking about aging not for wussies. What do you think?
Yeah, it's not for wussies. Although I would say it differently. I would say it's not for pussies.
But pussies, wussies.
But Pete is a lady.
A lady.
Hey, Pete.
Yeah.
In the spirit of Halloween, can I tell a dad joke?
Tell a dad joke.
I missed my dad joke last time.
Oh.
In the spirit of Halloween, I'm going to allow that.
Okay. So, why should you not trust a tree?
Why?
Because they're shady.
Ba-dum-ba.
Well, I have a really bad joke. Can I tell that? It's not a dad joke. Did you say yours was a dad joke or a bad joke?
Bad dad joke.
Oh. Can I tell one?
Yes. Please do.
Ask me if I'm a rock.
Are you a rock?
Kate, are you a rock?
No.
That is the best joke ever.
Just because it's just ridiculous. Okay.
Hey, that's good.
It's a Thursday night. We're taping at Lauren's house tonight. Can we tap our glasses together?
Let's do it. Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. You guys.
Clink, clink.
To you. Our third episode.
Yay.
Okay. So what is positive of being in your 50s? Stuff that isn't as bad as you think. I'll start off.
Okay.
I don't feel the need for approval or explanation of who I am or if I have to answer to people to a point.
Well, I would like to sum that. I would like to say that a little bit differently.
Okay.
Am I tired or is it because I just don't care anymore?
For approval or
everything?
Everything. I think I just don't care anymore.
You don't care.
It's not that we don't care about the people in our lives. And it's just like, do you
care what others think about
you? I don't mean to sum it all up into I don't care anymore. I mean, I care about a lot of things, but it's like there's just things about once you reach this certain age, you think, why would I stress about this anymore?
Right, right. It's easier to work through crisis. It's easier to make decisions because of maybe our past experiences.
Yeah.
So maybe we just feel like, you know, why get stressed out about that? Why get anxious over that? Why get depressed over that? We've lived through certain things. We've lived through it.
And the whole thing about life is short, I mean, everyone says it, but when you get to a little older, you've experienced what that really means. Life is short and you lose people and you realize it's fucking short.
It's short. I'm a walking contradiction, though. I will say I don't stress about stupid things, but I stress about everything. I do. I sit down in my little office downstairs and sit there and stress about every little thing at work. And then if something goes wrong about the house, oh my God, the sky is falling. Something goes wrong about a bill. Oh my God, how that's going to get fixed. I mean, I just stress out about everything. So I pop up a Xanax. I don't know. I just do.
We probably need to talk about antidepressants at some point.
Yes. But do you stress about where you've come in your life? Like, for example, when I don't care what people think about me at work. You know, I know who I am. I know what kind of individual I am. I don't feel like I need people's approval on
some days I don't. Some days I don't, but then I don't want people to think I'm stupid. I stress about that. For the longest time I didn't want to put my picture out there cuz now we have Google email, and for the longest time, I didn't want to put my picture out there because I didn't want them to see my hair was blonde. Because I swear, people will think different of you, and that is stupid. I know, but yeah, people tell blonde jokes, and I laugh at them too. But yeah, I think
people think, oh, well, she's blonde and she's dumb.
Don't.
I think that we all learn differently.
There are lots of different types of learners. And as an educator, I can tell you that we're taught to teach things in lots of different ways.
Okay. And do all those people understand that? Or do they just say,
oh. We're not all brain surgeons. We're not all, I mean, I work in the law field. I'm not a lawyer. I don't want to be a lawyer. I don't think like that. We all have thinking processes that are completely different, but there, some of them are like, can't read a recipe. So, I mean, it's completely different. It doesn't make you stupid. It just makes you that you have a different aptitude. Is that the word I want? Is that what I want?
God, you're dumb.
I am dumb. I just don't even know my right word. But it's funny that you say about being dumb. I saw this TikTok the other day and I thought, oh my gosh, this is hilarious. What is something you have done that makes you look really stupid? And I was thinking about something. I thought, oh, I know. I was at work and my stupid printer was not working and I was going nuts, turning the computer off, starting the computer, turning the printer on, pulling, you know, lifting up where the toner goes in. I was doing everything. I was getting so mad because I really needed it to work and it just wasn't working. Is everything plugged in? Yep, everything's plugged in. Call the help desk. And they're like, oh, well, I don't know. Let me see from our end. And they're doing all this stuff, doing, you know, I can see him working on, you know, is it lined up? I can see him remoted in. I turn around. I pull out the paper tray. Guess what?
There's no paper. I wouldn't admit to that.
I didn't. The IT goes, oh, I hear something. I'm like, oh, I don't know what you did, but it's working.
And they're going to go, okay, thanks. Good job. Way to go.
Good us. And yeah. I was like, oh my God, I'm such a freaking idiot for 15 minutes.
Well, have you ever been at the grocery store and you're looking for something and you finally see somebody that works there and you're like, where are the artichokes? And they're like, right behind you. And like, oh, right. Okay. Exactly.
No, I always say, I know it's right in front of my face, isn't it?
Yep. Mm-hmm. It's always like that. There's this show. Do you remember the show called The Good Life? It was on public television for a long time. It was a British... Oh, never mind.
Oh, God. Laura, no. Okay, The Good Life. There was only one British show I watched on public television. Dr. What's-His-Face, and he was that...
Doctor Who?
No. He was very... and he... I'll have to look. He got a lady pregnant, and yeah, I'll have to look it up. That was the only British.
Yeah, we're
going to
cut this out because you can't like say Dr.
I'll look that up. That was the only British one I'll watch.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about. Doc Martin?
Doc Martin. It reminded me of a shoe.
He was an a-hole.
That was the only one I watched because I could actually understand them. Sure. I just don't like British shows because I can't understand them.
My husband doesn't either, because he can't understand him either.
Well, just all toys like this, and hey, boy, it was all a cow and you saw.
So I always say, turn it up louder, then you can understand it.
I'm going to just do a blanket apology to all the British people and Irish people and Scottish people or anyone with an accent. Your microphone blinked red when you did that. I don't know what that means.
That means it's too loud.
Yeah. Oh, my God. You should see the lines on here. Yeah, it's super loud, Lauren. Shh. Well, we all agree that maybe Lauren was a little inappropriate, but after re-listening to her accents, we think it's all of them.
Every nationality.
Everything. So she was inclusive. In her inappropriateness. It was still funny
while
as hell.
Watching TV. So I guess
I just don't think she's watched enough. I think you have to watch. I think you.
I'm good at accents.
I agree. You do have to.
Scottish.
I know, but you've been watching Outlander.
For Jamie. Everybody wants a Jamie.
What was that? What was the Jamie spinoff show?
Where he makes...
It was like On the Road in Scotland with Jamie and that other hot guy.
Oh my gosh, his uncle.
And
on the show.
Yeah.
Yes. And I, you know, Jamie's hot, but Scottish, uncle.
Scottish men in skirts or
yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. And
kilts.
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 That uncle guy.
Ooh, he's a hot.
Guy. He. Ooh. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He's a nice older gentleman.
He is.
Nice looking older gentleman. So if you're a fan of Outlander, you will know who we're talking about. And I wish they didn't kill him off.
His name. Oh, Graham McTavish.
Graham McTavish.
He is.
Graham McTavish.
For those of you in your, you know, our age group, 50-ish.
50-ish.
Or older.
He's probably 60.
Well, let me just read a little bit about
Graham. He's probably McTavish. 60.
Graham McTavish, if you're listening. Can you come to Iowa? He's married to Gwen McTavish. Of course, her name's Gwen. That's an awesome name. Oh, he's 6'2". Ooh. He's from Glasgow.
6'2", eyes are blue.
Graham James McTavish is a Scottish actor and author. Oh, he's an author. Oh, he was in The Hobbit trilogy. I don't remember
what
him.
What was he in The Hobbit?
And Dracula in Netflix animated series, ooh, Castlevania.
Castlevania?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't see it.
Animated.
And he was Dougal McKenzie in Outlander.
Dougal!
That's my Scottish accent. Unlike Lauren's, mine is very good.
Yeah, Scottish, I can't do it.
Moving on. The ugly of being in our 50s. Stuff that is worse than you think. Okay.
Womp, 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 womp.
Okay, let's do a little menopause versus being in our menstruating years.
Oh, everyone, there's people that just tuned out and they're like, oh my God, I'm not going to hear about this.
This is a podcast from women in our 50s. We have the right to discuss these things.
It's important because there's people. Did anyone tell us this shit?
Nobody told us this stuff.
It's like, yeah, menopause. Yeah, good luck.
No, my mom had her things cleared out. And so she did. She
didn't talk about
it. Couldn't tell me much.
Our moms didn't really talk about it. Who talked about menopause? Nobody talked about that. They didn't tell us. I barely got talked about my period when it started.
I got a book.
I didn't even get that.
Remember that book I got about sex?
Forever.
And was that it?
That was the book.
And my mom like, here. And I read the book and I guess it was years later when I realized that was my sex talk. It was here. That was the word.
You want to know what my sex talk is?
What?
Do you remember the little...
Reading my mom's book of forever?
No. Oh, gosh. This is going to be terrible. Remember the little things that we had to wear and you had to put your pads through? They were like those little belt
Garter things.
Garter things.
Yeah.
I don't know what they were called. Yeah, that was mine. Here you go.
That's not a sex talk. That's a period.
Exactly. Exactly.
My sex talk was... Here's a dick. It's going in your thing.
Boink. Well, when I got that book, I know, sorry, Pete, we're deviating. When I got that book, I read it and I was like, oh, and they ended up making like a movie out of it.
Forever.
Yeah.
It was a movie?
Rex, I think it was.
Rex Smith was in it. Do you remember him? Yeah, he was hot. So I had this book and, I read it and I told my friends, I'm like, oh my God, you have to read this book. It's so dirty.
And by the time you got it, every dirty spot was highlighted.
It was, you know, what do you call it? Earmarked. Or like,
earmarked, yep.
And then like if you just put the book in your hand and let it flop open, it would flop open to the dirtiest part in the book. I think I still have that book somewhere. But it was years later when I realized that was my mom's sex talk. And when I asked her about it, she said, oh, her friends at work told her, just to give me that book.
Well, let me tell you a funny story about that too. Is so you know when you get on an elevator, you don't ever talk to anybody. You just get on an elevator, it's completely silent.
Oh, I talk to people.
Okay. Well, so I'm riding up on the elevator after lunch one day, and there's these three ladies standing behind me, and they're talking. And one of the ladies goes, "My daughter wants me to buy her this book, and she says you know it's really good, and she called it Forever. Have you guys ever heard of this book, Forever? And they're no, I have never heard of it. And I turn around and I said, have you read it? And the woman said, no. I'm like, read it before you give it to your 10-year-old daughter.
Oh, 10-year-old?
Yeah.
Oh, at least I was like 14.
She said, why? I said, just read it before you give it to your 10-year-old daughter. And then my floor the doors opened and I walked off. And she goes, I wonder what that was all about.
And truth be known, she probably enjoyed it. And she did not let her 10-year-old read it.
Did you give your daughter the talk?
I've tried to give her the talk over the years. I sat down like on her bed once and I'm like, all right, so I need to, it's time that we talk about how things happen with between men and women or boys and girls or, well, men. And she's like, no. I'm like, what do you mean no?
I'm not going down that road with you, Mom.
She's like, I already know. I'm like, you already know about sex? She's like, yeah. I'm like, well, how do you know? My friends.
TikTok.
I go, well, I think I need to say something about it. No. So anytime I try to get a few little jabs in there. I mean, she's an adult now, so I can't, there's nothing I can say anymore. But
what about you and your daughter?
I had it with my daughter and my boys. Yes. But I started very young, not graphic, but you know, I just started when they were very young that, you know, their bodies were their temple. I don't know if that's the word I use, but you know, because I think we emphasize on that we put too much pressure on the girls and we never explain.
Oh, I was going to say, but the conversation is different with boys, I think.
Right.
It should be similar.
Right. So, you know, when you talk to when I was talking to my boys, I was like, you know, you got to, your body is just as valuable and as important to as a girl's. And you need to respect your own body and have others as well. I don't think, you know. I'm not going to go down the avenue. The more you conquer, the better, the bigger the man. You know, that's not where I went.
I was talking to my students the other day, and I teach art, and I had them creating something for someone else. It was like a clay project. And so this one guy said, I'll make it for my mom. And I said, oh, that's great. And so he did something super simplistic, you know, it had a heart on it. It said, Mom, I'm like, you know, can you think of something a little more personal about your mom? I said, here, as a mom, let me just kind of throw some things out there. Like if I was going to get a gift from you as your mom, what would I want it to say? And so I list off a few things, but then I said, maybe say you were always right. And I think, that's really what I've always wanted to hear. You're right.
All right. So I'm just going to give you some things. And you tell me which of these two you prefer. Because, you know, you went through certain things when you were a young girl menstruating and what we're going through or have gone through when we're menopause.
Okay.
These are your choices. Always pads versus poise pads.
Always pads.
I haven't done the poise yet.
But you know where I'm going with that. When you got a leak.
I'll take the poise then.
Okay. Cramps versus hot flashes.
Hot flashes, because cramps suck.
I agree.
So do hot flashes. Because y'all said in your face, it's not like a hot flash, like, ooh, this is warming me up, man. Because I'm a cold person. I'm always cold, right? I'm always cold.
Cramps mean... okay.
You don't have a hot flash when you need it.
Or hot flashes aren't like, ooh, these are nice and toasty.
Cramps
warm.
Mean, like, oh, my, I'm in my white pants. Am I going to have problems leakage? When I get up from my seat and I got a big red patch in my pants?
That's happened.
Yep.
Yep.
Migraines versus depression.
Migraine.
I've had both.
That reminds me. Can I tell my antidepressant story?
Not yet. We're getting into the drugs.
But I've had. I can count maybe on.
But if you had to choose one to have, because you know when I was younger, man, migraines would come my monthly.
So what's the question? Which would I rather have?
Yeah, if you had to choose, because you know during our younger years, menstruating years. The first thing I'm giving you is usually what your symptoms were, usually what girls suffered with. Your second part is what we suffer with
I suffer with depression constantly, and I take pills for it, and I've only a handful of times have had migraines.
All right.
So which would I rather?
Yeah, if you had to choose to live with.
Depression.
All right. Okay. Bloating versus weight gain.
Bloating.
Bloating.
Bloating. That'll go away eventually. Mm-hmm. Acne versus skin splotches. Do you notice your skin
splotches
are different? Yeah, but acne goes away. Splotches kind of are staying with us the rest of our lives now.
What do you mean splotches?
You know how your skin tone has kind of changed a little bit and you kind of got different coloration?
I know the, I get the sun splotches.
Yeah, yeah, or like liver spots, you know, things that you're getting.
Wait, that's
you know
spots, what? Not splotch.
Okay, spots.
The liver, you know what?
Can you say acne versus spots? Because then we'll
there
say,
you go.
Then I'll say acne.
Okay.
And you know, that just, it's just going to happen.
Okay. Tired versus restless sleep.
Well, it's because you have restless sleep.
I'll take the restless sleep.
Yeah, but you know, when you, you know, when you were going through your period, you're always like, seemed like you're always exhausted. You're just tired all the time. And now it's like, I can never just
since
sleep.
I've taken iron and I've taken it religiously now, restless sleep.
Yeah, me too.
That's a terrible choice, though.
I know.
So is the depression one.
I know.
Stop it.
Okay.
Stop it.
Bitchy versus mood swings.
Oh. God damn.
Obviously, Lauren.
Wait,
Lauren. Goes, you know, because like, you know, when you're on your period, you're like bitchy, I think snappy.
I've always been bitchy.
I think I'd rather do bitchy than mood swings because mood swings, you really can't control. Bitchy, you can disguise it.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm just kidding.
Not really.
But I am. But no, I'm not.
Deep down inside, you're like biting down on the inside of your mouth.
Oh, I was like that today. People. I was like that today. It's like, why are you taking this way?
You just wanted to throw punch
him. I want to kill you.
We got the Exorcist
in the nicest
with us now.
Way possible. It is Halloween. That was just, that's for all of you out there.
And is that, was that a mood swing? That was a mood swing, I think,
no,
right?
Yeah, I think a mood swing is like, okay, for example, you're in a really good mood and then maybe your significant other walks in and all of a sudden you're just like, what the hell?
Why didn't you walk in the
door?
That's
a whole other podcast.
Yeah, and you're thinking, then you think, well, why am I getting like that? What did they do? You know?
They lived. They breathed.
Okay, what's that? So, okay, then that was a mood swing.
See, yeah, to me, that's a mood swing. It's like, yeah, I'm in a really good mood. But then all of a sudden they walk in and you're like,
okay, the mood. Okay, I don't want the mood swing.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, mood swing.
So this is what I'm saying is we go through some pretty traumatic things from, you know, young.
And that's hormones.
All the way up to
what we're suffering. Guys don't have any of that shit.
I'm like, to me, it's like.
They have wet dreams. And they have, you know, erections in inappropriate times. What else do they have?
That's what I say.
They have things too.
Like they do.
No, they
do.
Don't.
I think they go through depression. I think they do.
They
I mean,
do, but they don't talk about
right.
it.
Right. And I think men also have a time of the month. I mean, if you pay attention, maybe not now because they're older.
No,
but
yeah,
if you
no.
pay attention
well, when you live with
man,
someone
yeah.
a long time, you know that they, it ebbs and flows.
And they right. They should probably have a podcast about
it. I'm just saying.
I'm
you
sure
know,
there's one out there.
God oh, took the rib out of Adam, and you know I think he's got a great sense of humor, and he's like, "I'm going to give these women some other things that they got to deal with." You know, I'm just
all
saying.
Of it. We have to deal with all of
that's
it.
That's right. I'm just saying.
Can you
things that we are going through?
Can I tell the antidepressant story now?
Yes. Okay, let's talk body parts.
Oh boy,
that have gone. South.
Wait, no, I wanted to tell my story about.
Oh yeah. Tell us your depression story.
We were at another friend's house and they were having a housewarming party, I think. And a bunch of us got together and friends from high school. And we hadn't seen each other for a really long time. Yeah, you were there.
Yeah, we were there.
And we really hadn't seen each other for a long time. So we were like, and it was like men and women from our class. Mm-hmm. And it ended up like the women were all in this circle. And we were talking about things or whatever. And I think we were in our early 40s. So this has been a while.
Okay.
And so we're all sitting around and somebody started talking about their meds.
Which Lauren and I said, oh my God, there's going to be a day that we are on our walks and we're talking about our meds. Then we're going to talk about our aches and pains.
And our surgeries.
How many surgeries we've had. So you're exactly right.
Well, so we're in this circle. all these people are our own age, and everyone's comparing our antidepressants. Like, oh, you take Lexapro? Oh, well, I take Wellbutrin, and I take Effexor. And it wasn't until afterwards that I really thought, okay, and it was women in this circle.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't any of the guys.
Right.
So, and I thought, okay, and this is really what I thought, so I'm sorry. But I really thought the reason we're all on antidepressants is because we were all married.
In your 40s, you're like, oh my gosh, you're raising your children, you're running them around, you're holding a career down, you're trying to keep the house in order.
Yeah.
I think a lot is a lot of pressure, society or ourselves, we put on ourselves.
And we do.
I think you're drained. You're thinking, that's where I say in my 50s, I've kind of let all that crap go because I'm like, you know what? I don't have anything to prove. And one day, and maybe this probably has to be 6-7 years ago. So yeah, maybe it was my when I hit 50. I'm like, I just one day thought I don't need this anymore. And I think that everybody comes to that point at some time, and maybe they don't. Maybe they're fine, and that's what they feel like they need, and that's good. That's great, and I think people should do that. But I just woke up one day. I'm like, you know what? I don't need this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't since. But I think I came to a part where I was like, I have nothing to prove anymore.
Where I was talking earlier about walking contradiction, but this is where I say I'm not, because I don't care about keeping up with the Joneses anymore.
Right.
That's the part I don't care about. And yes, I do have a nice home, but I don't care about having a nice home. Even though I do. I could downsize this.
Right. You could walk away from
it. I could walk away from this.
Right.
I could trade homes with anyone here because I'm at the age now, it's like I could live in a tiny home and I could have my motorcycle and I can live a fun life and do what I want.
But that's another thing. It's like recreation. If you want to start your next, I mean, I think recreation is like, I want a camper, I want a motorcycle.
And I just want to go away.
I just want to travel and be free.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of, as a woman that we graduated with who does do that.
Nomadland.
We have a friend that does that and actually knew people that were on that show.
Dang it.
Yeah, and that's how she lives her life. And I follow her, and she will put out pictures of where she is and people she's meeting.
Can she take a shower every day, though?
Yeah, she has her own truck.
Seriously?
And she pulls a camper. And that's how she lives.
Well, she went through a lot of health problems.
And I think that's where it is. She went through a bad divorce. And she says that's kind of what led her to this. But she also had a lot of health issues. And I think she was like, just threw it to the wind and like, this is the life I'm living. And when I see
pictures, AC.
I would have never guessed that.
She was my locker partner.
When we grew up, I would have never guessed it.
Lauren keeps picking up her mic thinking, like she's on stage somewhere.
She's on Comedy
Central. Her light keeps blinking in red.
Comedy Central. She's picking up her mic and she's all over the stage.
As we're looking at the thing on the screen, it's like spiking every time she gets excited.
Excited. Anyway. All right. So back to the body parts that have gone south. Our boobs, our butts, our bat wings.
That's arms.
Everything.
Our turkey necks.
These are things that bother me about turning 50.
Yeah, but here's another thing. Do you even remember what your body looked like when you were in your teens and stuff? I don't remember if I had perky boobs or not. The
only reason I think maybe I did. I mean, I weigh less now than I did in high school, so I can't compare that, but my boobs were where they should have been in high school. And the only reason I said it, my mom still has my prom dress and my dress that I wore in my sister's wedding our senior year. And she goes, well, these are really cute dresses. You should try them on. I'm like, okay, A, they may fit, but my boobs do not go. The boobs should go in these dresses. Why do you have them?
I remember when I was married, I got down to 123 pounds.
And I thought I was the shit.
You were the shit. I loved your dress.
123.
Loved your dress.
123. That was the shit. That was hard. And then after that, it's just like, that was hard to maintain.
I know. And I said,
it's like, the,
well, so, you're 5'7".
That's too hard.
So, okay, so our body parts going south, that's horror. That is probably one of the parts of the ugly of turning 50.
You know what? I just, at over 50, I just don't want to be those women that I see limping and with a cane and look like they're hunched in over. Pain and hunched over. I just look at them and think, oh my gosh, I don't want that.
Are they in their 50s or?
Don't you see some people and think? Some are.
Do I look that
old? I know they are.
Yeah. And you think, do I look that old? I mean, when you see pictures of some people that are in our age, that we know they're our age.
They're just people that.
Do you think you look that old?
I don't think so. But I, you know, that's vanity. But my husband saw an obituary from his hometown, which is not the same as ours, of a classmate who passed away. And he showed me the picture, and he didn't preface it by saying this. I went to school with this guy. He's like, look at this guy. He passed away. And I'm like, oh, you know, and he's like, we were friends. We like played together when we were little and we graduated together. And I'm like, him?
Oh my God.
He literally looked 80. So my husband's like, I look good, right?
You look great.
It's not just women.
Exactly.
I'm like, you.
Exactly.
You do. You look hot, man. You do.
He does.
Yeah. It's not just women.
As soon as he grows his Octobeard.
Octobeard.
Well, your husband has good head hair.
He does have a good head of hair. Yeah, he does.
He really does. Yeah. He's all self-conscious because in the fall, he'll grow a beard for me because I love beards. And he's like, it's going to be so white. I'm like, yeah. Nice.
He's sexy thing.
And it's for hot.
To be basically,
it's like distinguished.
Coloring your beard.
Nah,
anyway.
No, do that.
I like the beard.
Other than I love
beard season.
What bugs me the most, I think, is about getting old.
Whiskers?
No.
Okay. Yeah. This is my greatest fear, ladies. And please, please, please.
I will.
Please tell me.
I will. Yeah. I promise. I will go to.
I'm like.
I will pluck your hairs.
No. Lauren is a liar, and I'm going to tell you.
I will not.
This is my greatest fear is I'm going to go like in this terrible car accident or something. I'm going to be in a coma where they have your head all wrapped up.
And no one's going to pluck your whiskers for
and
you?
And nobody is going to
pluck. We will pluck
your
whiskers.
Nobody will take care of my mustache and my beard, and it's going to come out thicker than my husband's when they take the mask.
We will take care of that. I swear to you.
Okay.
Here. I'm going to shake hands.
Okay, shake on it, you. If I am in the
this
hospital.
This is not just Pete. This is everybody.
A witchery. We all have our hands.
You owe that to the girlfriends. And I'm thinking, is there nurses out there? Nurses, if you're out there, is that a job responsibility? Because it really, really should be a job responsibility for these
poor
nurses.
Not do that because they don't care.
That's not true at all.
I don't think they care. I don't think they have time.
No, they don't care. But friends, we will.
If I'm in a coma, you better come every day and make sure the beard and the mustache is gone. I'm just saying.
We will pluck those hairs from your chins and from the mustache stash.
Tell the story. So in early October, I went to Lauren and I drove to San Antonio for this book thing.
And did I not?
Shush. So we drive there and, you know, we're in the car next to each other all that way, like forever. And we get to the hotel. And we're getting ready for the first thing, right? And I'm like looking in the bathroom mirror.
Because now the lighting is absolutely perfect.
Yeah. And I'm like,
look. They had a good mirror though.
They had a great mirror. And I'm like looking and like tweezers and scissors and stuff. And okay, I will give you this. You did finally tell me, but you're like, oh yeah, you got a really long whisker.
No, I did not see that when you were driving.
In the car.
You said you did. No,
lies.
Not in the car. Lies. I tell you everything.
When I was standing in there in the bathroom mirror, she's like, Yeah, I saw that in the car.
Oh, I did?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, okay. I did?
Yeah, and I'm like, because I happen to see it. And you said, yeah, that's a big one. So it was. It was like a really long. Okay, this is good.
Oh, okay. Shame on me.
Okay, so here, I got another one of those stories. This is.
Shame on me.
So I am working. Okay, so you know, my husband now, I worked for him before.
Your husband now?
My husband now. Before. My husband now. I worked for him.
Married 18 times.
18. Count them. 18. 1-8. Kidding. Maybe.
This one's a winner.
This one stayed.
He's stuck.
He's stuck.
The other one's dead. That's a whole nother podcast.
Anywho. 2020. So I worked for him before we got married. And we worked in this little office. So anywho, he and I shared an office. And our supervisor had an office across the hall from us. And she was probably in her 60s. She was getting close to retirement age. And anywho, she comes over after lunch. Every day after lunch, she would come to our office because behind our door, for some reason, there was a mirror. And so she would go behind the door, and she would go and, you know, make sure she didn't have, I was supposed, food in her mouth, her hair, you know, touch up after work.
Get her own mirror.
That's what I thought. So anyway, I'm sitting there, and she peeks around. She goes, Paulette, come here for a minute. I'm like, you know, I'm thinking that's kind of weird, but all right, you know, who am I? And I said, okay. So I go over there, and she goes, I need you to pluck this hair out of this mole for me because I have bifocals and I can't quite line up the tweezer.
Oh, I would have done it in a heartbeat.
I'm like, I don't even know this woman. I'm like, but I did.
Oh, good.
And so I did it for her. She walks over. She walks out. I close the door. I go around to where my boss, now husband's desk is, and I put my hand down and I look him straight in the eye and I said, you show me in my job description where I have to pluck my supervisor's hair out of her mole.
It's just a woman to woman kind of thing.
He says, you know that category where it says as tasks assigned.
As other tasks assigned.
That's a task.
Because you do not want to stare.
And knowing your husband, I think that was really quick thinking on his part.
He does come back with some quick ones. Okay, I don't want to start with so either. I always start with so.
Go.
Diet restrictions, exercises that we do.
Fuck them.
I was trying to think the other day through my life how many different diets I have tried.
All of them.
Exactly. Or pills.
From unhealthy
cabbage soup diet, Dexatrim.
Oh, yeah. All sorts of medication. Like,
do you remember
some that were
chocolate candy? I don't even know what they were. What were those called?
Those are like a poop thing.
Yes. So I thought to myself, when do you get to a point where, like, you know what? I'm good. You know?
I have a story, though. Remember Fen-Phen?
Loved it.
You did? It killed people.
I know.
Okay.
I did very well on Fen-Phen.
Okay.
I am sorry that it was a bad drug, but man, it was a great drug for diet. Yeah.
So I got my hair done at this place, and the woman who did my hair was from our... We went to school with her. Okay. She was older. And she was just... She had a lot of issues with other things, you know, drugs and other things. But so I went to her because she's like, you should let me cut your hair. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I go to her. And when I went to her, and I actually went more than once, so I don't know what the hell's wrong with me. But you were at her mercy, right?
Right. You're in her chair.
You're in her chair, and she's coloring cutting your hair. She's cutting. So she tells me, and she's like, you know, Kate, you should really do Fen-Phen. You should go on Fen-Phen. And at the time, it was killing people. Because I read articles
right.
And heard of the news. I'm like, uh-huh. because she's cutting my hair.
And you don't want to piss off your hairdresser.
And she's like, I totally went on Fenfen. It's why I look so good. And here's, I'll just give you a story. She's like, the other day, I was at the meat market. And the meat market is like the meat department at a grocery store.
Not a bar. Not a bar.
Not a bar. She was at the grocery store, and she's at the meat market. And she's like, I look so good that they just totally ignored everyone else and said, may I help you? I'm not kidding. This is the Fenfen story. And she's like, that's all because of Fenfen. And I'm like, okay, thank you for that.
Little piece of advice.
And so I didn't. I just left there with a decent haircut. Not the best.
Whatever happened to that lady?
You should totally do Fenfen. That's all I hear that all the time from this in my
snort
head.
Snort code.
You
too.
Should totally do Fenfen.
It echoes Fenfen.
Then try smoking crack.
She said a lot of other things.
That
while
will
we
be great. I still watch what I eat, and but I'm like, man, I'm done counting calories. I'm done tracking points. I'm done. I mean, you just get to the point. You're done.
You're done.
I'm ready to just eat the freaking cake when I want to eat the cake.
Well, you should. Everyone should eat the cake.
You are right. Everybody should. And I think. You know, I still try to keep a healthy diet, and I still try to keep exercise. But man,
wait, I can't say that because I'm a walking contradiction. Because I just 2-3 days ago whipped back on my diet pill.
You're a walking contradiction.
I am.
Wait, what's your diet pill? Wait,
I just went back to my doctor and I said, yeah, I just gained back the 20 pounds that I He's like, yeah.
This is my favorite thing about Lauren. Every time there's an infomercial for an exercise.
It's not.
Like Thighmaster.
She buys it. It's hilarious.
I love
She loves infomercials.
There's some good stuff on there, though.
There's some good stuff.
But she's like, Pete, guess what I bought? I'm like, something off infomercial.
I love infomercials. But yes,
there's just something about the way, and you can get two for, you know, the same amount.
Yeah, I know.
You know, if you like this, do it now, and you can have two.
Because we've only got 10 left, and the clock is ticking.
Shut up. But yes, I went back to my doctor just because I needed to go back for blood work. And I said, I want to go back on my diet pills. And he said, yeah. And he's 30-something. And he's skinny.
Doesn't get
like,
it at all.
You're not obese, but, you know, yeah,
you
probably should get, you know, we don't want you get creeping back up there. And yeah. So I knew.
What is your relationship with exercise?
You know, I love to go to my exercise place. I do.
I do.
I love to go to my gym. I do.
I will say yes. I would rather exercise than cut back on my calories.
Well, I think that's healthy.
It is. It is. But when, you know, sometimes it becomes like an obsession, like, oh my gosh, I haven't got my 20,000 steps in today.
No, or, you know, I'm
like
not that.
I'm like, ah.
No,
and I'm
going
to go back to that first statement I made, which is, am I tired? Or is it because I just don't care?
I just don't give a shit anymore. And, well, and Lauren, you had a t-shirt on the other day, and I loved the shirt. It said something like strong versus skinny or something along those lines. You know, at our age, I think it's more important to feel
strong
rather
Not
than
just at our age.
Well, right. Well, exactly. But I'm just saying because of, you know, at our age, you know, you got to start thinking about balance and mobility, as we had talked about our mothers falling and, you know, breaking things. And I think, but women, I think you need to start thinking about this. I'd rather be strong than skinny. So I'm going to wrap this up by asking this question. Does your husband's, what do they expect of you for, of your health, your figure,
your parents, do they have any expectations out of you? I don't think my husband, it's funny because he never, like I'll say, oh, geez, how can you stand this? You know, when you're all sweaty or you haven't showered in a couple of days and your hair is in, you know, a disarray and I haven't put makeup on. And it's like he doesn't even realize it. And I said, okay, I haven't showered in like 2 days and I've worked out, you know, numerous times. And I'm like, how do you stand looking at this? And he's like, what are you even talking about? And, you know, so that's what I love about him is that he never comments about weight. He's supportive in either way I go. Like he's been through all the wild rides of all my different, yeah. Oh, we're on now this week, I'm trying the 5-2 diet. Where are you? You know, and then the next week it will be, you know, another diet and he'll just eat whatever I cook. Yeah, you know?
Mine will too.
And never says, it's like, oh my gosh, when are you going to stop doing this? Never. Yeah. He's just, you know, he just goes.
He's just happy. Just mine is just like, I'll eat whatever you eat. And he's just happy there's food prepped.
Exactly.
When he gets home from work.
You know, he never says, like, I'll say, oh gosh, I don't feel like putting makeup on. He goes, I don't know why you do. I mean, it's just, it's there's no expectation that from him. And so he supports the struggles, you know, because like, and I don't even get to that point anymore. It's like, oh, I feel terrible about myself. And I don't get to that point anymore. I'm just past that. But I'm just like, I just want to feel good.
And well, that's it. You just want to feel good.
Yeah. And
you want to feel attractive.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
So I think some women, unfortunately, get pressured from their spouses or significant others to look a certain way. And I feel for that. But I think we are all very blessed with our spouses that don't ever put that kind of pressure.
I think I will piggyback on that. My husband's the same way. I don't feel any pressure of looking the same way or feeling the same way. I don't put that pressure on my husband either.
And ours always, not only do they eat what we ever cook, but every time you ever say, hey, will you go for a walk with me? Or you want to go for a ride bikes? They always do. Yeah. I mean, they're always with you.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, yeah, sure, I'll go, you know.
Yeah.
So I think that's, we're very lucky.
It makes it sound like we have perfect men. They are.
Well, no,
that's episode 6.
And you know what? And I'm working from home now, and I'm not putting on makeup, and I'm just looking so.
I look very rough some days. I will. Yeah.
And there's days I'm not even showering ever.
Well, all right. Can we just say it how it is? They got a good life. They do. We treat them like fucking kings. We really do.
But you know, I will tell you,
our best. But you wake up and you're like, honey, what do you need? You know, what do you want for dinner? So yeah, yeah, we can look like dog shit as long as they come home and there's like a roast in the oven. And this sounds like 1950s shit, but it's true.
I you know, when you say we sound like we're making our husbands perfect and or whatever.
And we do, as for me, blowjobs are still on the table.
Oh, God. All right, so let's wrap this up.
Well, we didn't even talk about painful intercourse.
We will. That's our second part two of
painful aging, intercourse.
Aging isn't for the wussies. But let's wrap this up. Are we happy being in our 50s?
Yeah, I am.
I am too.
I am. I really am.
So thank you all for joining us again for another episode of Three Besties from the Midwesties. Have a great week, everybody. I'm Pete.
I'm Kate.
And I'm Lauren.
Bye.
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 We hope you've enjoyed listening to the Three Besties from the Midwesties podcast. For more about us, go to our website, bestiesfromthemidwesties.godaddysites.com. Check out more episodes wherever you get your podcasts.